This is the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. In the headlines, police probe an apparent suicide at Paradise Beach, St. Michael. U.S. President Donald Trump's reciprocal tariffs on dozens of countries take effect today. The DLP calls for decisive action by government on the U.S. tariffs. A youth parliamentarian calls for stronger enforcement of the school grooming policy. And head of the Barbados Film and Television Association says CBC does not have the authority to go fully digital. Good morning, I'm Carol Toppin. Details to the news just ahead. The body of a naked man was pulled from Paradise Beach south of Bats Rock yesterday afternoon as police continue to investigate a possible suicide by drowning. It was around 2 p.m. that the Black Rock station received several calls of a naked man holding a scroll in his hand and making declarations on the edge of the shore. Several officers turned up with blankets and tried to lure the man off the shore, but instead he ran backwards into the water before drowning. A lifeguard and a private vessel with two men tried to save him, but when he was pulled from the water, there was no sign of life. The man's identity is yet to be revealed. U.S. President Donald Trump's reciprocal tariffs on dozens of countries took effect today, including a massive 104% duties on Chinese goods, deepening his global trade war and spurring more widespread selling across financial markets. Trump's punishing tariffs have shaken a global trading order that has persisted for decades, raising fears of recession and wiped trillions of dollars off the market value of major firms. European shares fell as the U.S. tariffs kicked in, and U.S. stock futures pointed to more pain ahead following a grim session for most of Asia. Chinese stocks bucked the trend, however, as state support propped up the ailing market. The Democratic Labour Party wants government to take decisive action to shield Barbadians from the impact of the U.S. tariffs, which they say will have far-reaching implications for households across the country. The party spokesperson on energy, small business development, entrepreneurship, and housing, Senator Ryan Walters, in a statement said both Prime Minister Motley and Minister in the Ministry of Finance, Ryan Strachan, are yet to reveal a coherent strategy to protect citizens amid rising costs. Mr. Walters offered some solutions.
While we recognize that inflation is a global issue and that some price increases are imported, we reject the notion that the government lacks the capacity to respond. There are several concrete measures that this administration must consider. Addressing the impact of tariffs specifically on imported food items, which are vital for daily living. Conducting a thorough assessment of the import duty rates, excise taxes, and VAT levied at the Bridgetown port with a view towards reductions that prioritize consumer protection.
He also called for an increase in the minimum wage and a decrease in personal income tax.
Implementing the commitments made in the BLP's 2018 manifesto regarding tax reductions so that they become a reality for struggling families. Enhancing monitoring to eliminate unjust price increases that exploit consumers, especially during times of crisis. Expediting the implementation of a higher national minimum wage, a promise that has been outstanding since March 2024, and providing financial relief to the lower middle and middle classes by reducing personal income tax rates. We also urge the government not to take advantage of this situation to boost revenue through increased port fees and taxation.
DLP spokesperson on energy, small business development, entrepreneurship and housing, Senator Ryan Walters. Minister of the Environment and National Beautification Adrian Ford is calling for faster access to loss and damage funds for communities affected by climate-related disasters. Speaking at the opening of the fifth board meeting of the Fund for Responding to Loss and Damage, Mr. Ford stressed that affected countries should not have to wait months or even years for financial support.
The communities and the people who are most affected by serious climate events need to be assured that the loss and damage fund is viable and can respond quickly to their needs. I must emphasize that these communities and these people cannot wait months or years for complex application and the processes to unfold. After Hurricane Beryl on the 1st of July, by the 2nd of July, Prime Minister and the government, of course, had to respond with alacrity because we had families whose basic needs were still there. And so that's why the fund must operate with a measure of alacrity. A relief fund that moves slower than recovery efforts does not relieve, it delays and deepens suffering.
Minister of the Environment and National Beautification, Adrian Ford. A youth parliamentarian and secondary school student is calling for better enforcement of the national grooming policy. Head of the Queen's College Student Council, Javaria Young, says the policy is clear on what is allowed and not allowed and doesn't need to be reassessed. Instead, he believes the real issue is the lack of consistent implementation. He made the comments while speaking on VOB's Down to Brass Tacks.
It does not allow makeup for girls. It does not allow cosmetic eyelashes, as we've been seeing. It does not allow hair color. It does not allow earrings for boys. It does not allow hairstyles which obstruct the views of others. The policy then goes on to give administrators the right to responsibly enforce the policy and requires the school administrators to strictly, consistently, and impartially enforce the policy while also establishing school expectations and guidelines. The issue with the policy is its lack of enforcement. I think that school administrators need to step up and step in to ensure that students understand that coming to school comes with standards. Parents also need to step up and take better responsibility and care for their children. But I do not think that the policy needs reassessing. And even if it is, it should not be done in a way that regresses the few liberties it gives. Because in my opinion, that would just be going backwards.
Head of the Queen's College Student Council, Javaria Young. President of the Barbados Film and Television Association, Jamal Slocum, is claiming that the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation does not have jurisdiction to transition entirely to a digital framework. Mr. Slocum told Starcom Network that his association has a duty to respond to this development because it would be irresponsible of the CBC if they use a broadcast system which would disadvantage wider Barbados.
The BSTA is willing to explore all legal options to ensure that a system like this does not disadvantage Barbadians, the average Barbadian. You are speaking about Miss Jean or Miss Green that live in Boscobel, will be unable to turn on her television tomorrow because she purchased that TV in 2015 and it worked well. But because of this new transition to ATSC3, she's not going to be able to turn on her TV and watch CBC anymore. That is essentially what is happening.
Mr. Slocum acknowledged that while his association is not a regulatory body, they have evidential support to show that the planned digital transformation will not work.
Our geographical structure doesn't allow for us to be showing one set of information down in Pike Corner and the next set of information in Barbiesville and the next piece of information in Marksville. It doesn't make sense. That is not the structure. It is not designed for Caribbean countries at 166 square miles. Not even Jamaica is seeing the benefits of being able to move to that. And the speed of which CBC wants to move to this is going to shut down thousands of the systems of thousands of Barbadians. It borders ludicrousy and it trespasses on recklessness.
President of the Barbados Film and Television Association, Jamal Slocum. Efforts to reach management at CBC so far for comment have proved unsuccessful. And finally, in Trinidad and Tobago, Prime Minister Stuart Young has confirmed that the United States has revoked Trinidad and Tobago's license to develop the Dragon gas field with Venezuela. These licenses were granted to the Twin Island Republic by the U.S. Department of the Treasury Office of Foreign Assets Control back in 2023. However, U.S. President Donald Trump announced the reversal of such authorizations. The Dragon project was expected to produce 350 million cubic feet of gas per day. And at a press conference, Prime Minister Young said he was in touch with attorneys in Washington, D.C. and could not say more on the matter.
We have now been informed that our license from OFAC, which is dated the 18th of December 2023, has been revoked by OFAC, and that license is now revoked by OFAC as well as our Coquina Mannequin license. It came a little while after the others. What I can tell Trinidad and Tobago is I don't have more details than that. I have been in touch with our attorneys at law in Washington, D.C. There is a process for, I wouldn't say appeal of this revocation, but there is a process for you to make an application for it not to be or for there to be amendments. And we are going to be engaged in that process.
Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, Stuart Young. Recapping the headlines. Police probe an apparent suicide at Paradise Beach, St. Michael. U.S. President Donald Trump's reciprocal tariffs on dozens of countries take effect from today. The DLP calls for decisive action by government on the U.S. tariffs. A youth parliamentarian calls for stronger enforcement of the school grooming policy. And head of the Barbados Film and Television Association says CBC does not have the authority to go fully digital. And that was the 7:30 edition of the latest from StarCom Network News. StarCom Network, a member of the OCM Group. Don't miss the latest with StarCom Network. News at your fingertips. Listen or catch up on starcomnetwork.net. WhatsApp add me to 246-256-6397 to receive breaking news. Like and follow at StarCom Network News on Instagram and Facebook now. More news coming your way at 8:30. I'm Carol Toppin. Good morning.